The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Happy Halloween. Should be a good one today. I think we're going to have a really good show for the next hour, joined by the eighth wonder of the world, according to Bears general manager Phil Emery. You can also call him the longest-tenured Bear in the history of this 94-year organization, Patrick Manley.
Because of that, I've had a whole bunch more traffic coming by my house, people coming to sightsee. It's been crazy.
It's like the Taj Mahal. The neighbors are complaining. Do you pose? Do you get in the long snapper pose?
No, they're constructing a statue right now of me doing that in my front yard.
It'll look different than any other statue that any player in the history of the league has ever gotten. Right. So that should be fun. That's Patrick Manley. He's the familiar voice that you hear on the show. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Zach Zaidman with you, and pleased to join us for the first time. It's a guy who is dressed as the middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears this week. That would be the rookie, Jonathan Bostic. How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
You nervous?
Nah, not at all.
I mean, you're next to Patrick Manley for
we sit next to each other every day. We have blockers right next to each other.
For people who don't know, yeah, that is true. Now, is that by design?
I don't know. Tony Medlin, our equipment manager, asked me who I wanted next to me, and I said, just as long as it's not Kyle Long, because he talks too much. So they put Mr. Bostic next to me, and he doesn't talk much at all.
No, he lets his pads do the talking on game day, which is always a cool
thing. This will be good, because I'll get to know him more. We'll probably talk more in this hour than we have in the past 7 weeks we've
been together.
Well,
it's good to know that this show brings people together. Now, John, have you asked Patrick about all the different things that you should know about the Bears-Packers rivalry?
Not exactly. I know he's informed me on a couple of things. But,
what are we, 92 and 88, I think, and a couple ties?
92, 88,
it's the longest. Six. Yeah, and six is what it is. Yeah, you're the
most games played between two teams in NFL history. Yeah. This will be the 187th meeting between the Bears and Packers, so it's been a while.
Yeah, there's a lot of hated history, but it's not as hated as it used to be, but I got a reason why.
Really?
I just think with the fine money the way it is now, guys can't do what they used to do. Like when Jim McMahon got thrown to the ground, or the old guys used to, the money's too much. You can't, it's not as dirty as it used to be. And I don't think it will ever be that dirty.
No, now I think what happens in the NFL is there are a lot of verbal shots that get taken, but not physical.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, Twitter and all that stuff. Yeah. I think you'll get more of that, but the physicality of the game or the cheap shots, I don't think you'll see anymore.
That's good.
I think they've cleaned up the game.
Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network of shows. And we'll talk a lot of football coming up, and there's a lot to discuss in terms of the X's and O's to this game. But it is Halloween, and that reminds me of one of the greatest pranks in the history of the Chicago Bears organization. It happened a few years ago, featuring a very prominent Chicago Bear, still on the team.
We can say it. It's Charles Tillman.
Yeah, Peanut Tillman. And it involved
Bob Babich, our linebackers coach at the time. They lived in the same neighborhood together. Todd Johnson was there as well, where Peanut dressed up as Chewbacca, I believe, and hid.
And how tall is Tillman? About 6'2"?
Yeah, 6'2", 6'3", and called Nancy Babich, Bob Babich's wife, said, when's he coming back from work? So they found out the time he was going to come home. Well, she called Peanut, said, come on down, he'll be home in about 5 minutes. So he hid around the corner of the house. Bob Babich pulled his car in the garage.
Now, hold on. Again, a full Chewbacca outfit.
Full. From Star Wars, authentic. Just full. Yeah. So Todd Johnson's there with the camcorder.
Night vision.
Yeah, exactly. Night vision, everything. So Bob Babich pulls in his car, walks up his three steps to walk into his front door, or his garage door. Peanut comes around the corner, starts screaming in the Chewbacca outfit with his arms raised. Bob Babich, squealed like a little girl, like a little 7-year-old girl, jumped back in the house, and then Peanut had to take off the mask and show it was him, and Bob Babich's reaction was was classic, absolutely. And the fact they got it on tape, and I think every year since it's happened, we've all watched it.
At some point, it gets put on every one of the highlight reels.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
awesome. I believe Inside the Bears did a piece on it that you can watch on the Chicago Bears network, and it's fantastic because everyone has a different reaction in that moment of truth when you're scared.
Oh, his was,
you know, do you come back and fight? You know, some guys, when they get scared, you come
fight
right
or flight. He had the flight. He definitely had that. He probably don't want to hear that, it's on tape.
He's recovered. He's now the defensive coordinator with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he's done fine for himself, but how did he handle it? How do you walk into the facility the next day? And he probably didn't know it was on tape.
No, I think he did know it. I think he was asking Peanut not to show it. And then I think they showed it the next week on our little highlight tape we watch on Saturdays after wins. You know, we'll watch the highlights of the game, and then they'll put spliced movie quotes or movie lines or movie scenes, and they put that in there. And I think that's the first time everybody got to see it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And where would a guy get an adult life-size
that's Peanut
Chewbacca. I mean,
I'm sure he's got some other ones.
So the bottom line is, John, be afraid tonight, because you never know when you come back home what Peanut's got in store. It could be you. You know, it's easy to pick on the rookies.
Well, he's already been picked on today. Can I tell the story of?
I thought it's
you tell the story.
Well,
no. So tell him what DJ Williams did today.
So we just get out of meetings. I got a little bit late. I was talking with Coach Tibbs after. And so I get back in the in the locker room, sitting down in the locker room, and all of a sudden DJ walks in, and I mean, he had a costume on. I was trying to figure out exactly what it was, you know, but he has like this, like, what is it?
It was a muscle shirt, but it was like an inflated muscle outfit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he had one of those, and he put a T-shirt on like over it.
And he had the John Bossa goatee.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Which is it's like the Sphinx, right? I mean, how do you get that goatee? By the way, it's very impressive.
It's,
is it
what,
not?
2 inches, 2.5 inches long. It's a nice one. But it was great. DJ was, yeah, everybody was dying.
He pulled it off.
Yeah, so everyone knew, except for you, that he was you.
Well, I was still looking up. I was trying to figure out, you know, what was going on, because he stood next to me. You know, Coach Tucker had taken a picture. So I'm still trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what's going on. Then all of a sudden, then I had figured it out, you know. But he definitely got me. I'll say that.
That was a good one.
Nice work. And it's good to see that there is a sense of enthusiasm in the building, because it was a little down last week.
It's been down, and it's been a long, 24 days or whatever? I think that's the hardest
thing. Yeah, one game in 24 days.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're ready to play. And we do have the energy. We have energy going on in the building, I think. But it's just, this has been a long, it's been a weird break, 24 days like this.
Well, you got a game Monday night, and there's a lot to talk about heading into that game against the Packers. We will discuss that next with Jonathan Bostic here with us. So is Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by CBW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, broadcasting from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall. Along with Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Sabin. Our guest for the hour is the rookie linebacker, Jonathan Bostic. Now, everyone calls you John, but officially it's Jonathan. So what do you like to be called?
Tell you the truth, it really doesn't matter to me. I've had nicknames since, you know, I was little. It's thousands of them, so, you know, really, you know, I answer pretty much every one of them.
I bet your mom calls you Jonathan, though.
She does. She, every time, you know, the commentators, you know, say, you know, John Bostic on the tackle, she, you know, she always makes sure she texts me or calls me and say, your name's Jonathan.
Well, and I will be calling you Jonathan from here on out. I want to make mom happy. That's the most important thing. All right, so your dad played in, it was the NFC Central back in the day, but it's the NFC North now. He played in this black and blue division for the Detroit Lions. Are you able to remember any stories from his playing days, or is it all from the stuff that he's told you over the years?
Most of the stuff is just stuff he's told me over the years. You know, I've seen two, maybe three games of him, you know, playing. You know, that's what he, just from what he had at the house. You know, he said, you know, he had some more, but, you know, I haven't seen him.
Those are highlight games, probably?
Nah, it was actually full games, because I remember he was, one game was like against Seattle. I think it was Seattle, because I want to say the guy was Willie Gault.
Oh, yeah. No, Willie Gault was here.
No, that was here. It was against the Bears, yeah. Willie Gault was, he's an 85 Bear.
What was your dad's last year?
Last year, I want to say was 87.
Okay, so that'd be,
yeah. Yeah, so it may have been here, because my dad said he was the fastest guy.
You know, Willie Gault, yeah.
So I guess it was against Chicago.
Cool.
Now, did he give you advice before your first start a couple of weeks ago against Washington? What advice did he give you when he took the field?
Really just go out there and have fun. You know, I've been, you know, playing football my whole life. You know, I've had coaches, you know, players that have pretty much helped me, you know, make this process, you know, a lot easier. You know, coming out of, you know, college, you really don't know what to expect. You know you're gonna play, but you don't know what to expect. You know, even though it's the same stuff, you know, at the same time, you know, it still feels a little bit different. So, just really just go out there and just have fun. You know, just trust. You know what I've learned. You know, just make sure that stuff translates to the game field.
Do you feel more confident and comfortable starting now instead of say week one?
Definitely a lot. Yeah. You know, I still had a lot to learn. You know, yeah. Going from, you know, from preseason into game one, there was a lot I had to learn, you know, just about this defense. You know, we obviously, you know, ran a different defense at Florida. We had a different, you know, style of defense down there. But, you know, it's just really just knowing the ins and outs of this defense and, you know, how everything kind of works together.
How much has DJ and James and Lance Briggs helped you?
I mean, it's been big. You know,
yeah, they're good older guys in the room. I've been around some of the guys that won't open their mouth and help the young guys, but I think they're mm-hmm. They've been good for you.
Yeah, he definitely has. You know, really all three of them. You know, even though, you know, DJ's, you know, out right now, you know, DJ's still, you know, helping me out, you know, whenever he can, you know, giving me tips and, you know, pointers here and there. You know, James, Lance, you know, all those guys. Lance has pretty much watched every play at practice today. Mm-hmm. You know, if I take one false step, you know, he made sure he let me know, you know, as soon as I, you know, got back to the side. But, you know, it's definitely something that's definitely helped me. So
good. Visiting with Jonathan Bostic here. It's Jonathan.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure so there's no confusion. Patrick Mandelies along. I'm Zach Saban. It's Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. It's funny, you know, he was saying that, you know, coming out of the SEC, he didn't know what to expect. I talked to Alshon Jeffrey, and he said, man, I was in the SEC. There's nothing that surprises me.
He said that?
Yeah, he did. And that's, you know, he's got a sense of confidence that I think it's because he was so highly.
But he's a receiver. All those guys talk. Yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly. You know, the defensive guys, they don't talk that way. And I feel bad for you because you played against some great quarterbacks in the SEC, mm-hmm. and then you have to go game two in your NFL career as a starter against the guy with the highest passer rating in the history of the National Football League in Aaron Rodgers. How much time have you spent watching video of this guy, and what sticks out when you watch him?
Couldn't even tell you how many times. Really. Just, you know, he's a guy that can pretty much do it all. You know, in college, you know, you don't really see, you know, too many guys like that. Either he's a runner, you know, looks to run first, or, you know, he's a drop back passer, you know, that will pretty much get on the ground before he, you know, try to take off running. But he's a guy that can really do it all. You know, he's accurate with the ball. You know, he can throw on the run, you know, regardless of which way you force him, you know, he's still accurate, you know, throwing outside the pocket. So, you know, he's going to be a tough guy to, you know, play against, but, you know, it's going to be fun as well.
Like, was it last week, Chad Greenway, when the pass he threw right by his ear, didn't get his hands up? Has that been talked about in the room? Getting your hands up if you're, you know, running after the tight end or receiver, whatever. You probably you obviously didn't see throws like that in the SEC or in college. Well, I mean, the guy's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, James was saying something. He's like, you know, pretty much it's got to be a perfect throw, perfect catch.
Yeah.
You know, it's something, you know, you just pretty much just got to line it up again and, you know, hopefully it can't do it again. Yeah. But, you know, basically just get the hands up.
Do you realize it's been five straight quarters since Green Bay has had to use its punter in a game?
We went four.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
they went five.
I was talking.
You guys averaged 30 points. They averaged 30 points. I mean, it's just one of these things that I was talking with Adam Podlish today, the Bears punter, and he was trying to rack his brains, trying to think if he's ever gone through a stretch of five consecutive quarters where he wasn't used. I mean, that's rare in the NFL.
Yeah, that is rare. But they have a deal. I think when they get into the between the 30 and the 45-yard line, they tend to go for it a lot. I don't know if that has to do something with Mason or just their game plan. So I think that takes the punt unit off every now and then, but they're good at it. They have a game plan of doing it. It's been working for them to help them put points up.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up is you guys have to use Devin Hester at some point as more than just a kickoff return. Maybe.
Yeah, it's going to be big. I mean, all our returns this game are going to be big. Field position against them is huge. Obviously, ball control, keeping their offense off the field, but anytime we can get the ball in Devin's hands, we have to make a difference.
Yeah, no question about it. And defensively, there's so much room for improvement. So that's encouraging from one standpoint. The other thing is there's just so many new guys out there. You're one of them. Kasim Green is going to get an opportunity. Give us a snapshot scouting report of what he's like.
I'll tell you the truth, we're pretty much just alike, you know, even, you know, off the field as well. You know, the way, you know, we carry ourselves, you know, stuff we like, you know, we're literally – pretty much the exact same person.
They're inseparable. I joked during training camp. They were, wherever one was, the other one couldn't be more than 5 feet behind them. It was unbelievable. Lunchroom with somebody walked through the door, and you're like, oh, there he is. But I think that's good when you can find a guy that you guys are in the same shoes together, and work together and work through, you know, rookie issues, I call them, your uncertainty of what the day is or this meeting is, and then you have the older guys to help you out. But I'm looking forward to watching those two play. I mean, you drafted them for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kasim set the all-time college football record for forced fumbles at Rutgers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's
that fits
a guy
our defense.
Fits in perfectly. Hopefully he can do some of that against the Packers on Sunday. And what's James Anderson like as a signal caller of the defense?
He's no different than Lance. He's no different. You know, he's played a lot of football, a lot of good football. And, you know, he's taught me things from day one. You know, he's repeating the same things. You know, Lance repeats, you know, when he's out there. You know, really, it hasn't changed. You know, it's really been, you know, no drop-off in that category. It's just been, you know, we got to basically have somebody else, you know, getting him in from the sidelines. Because even though, you know, Lance is, you know, calling the defense as well, it's basically the linebackers have to echo it. You know, we're in the middle of the defense. You know, we've got to make sure the defensive line knows, you know, what the call is and the secondary is on the same page with all of us. So
it's huge that during the preseason you had an opportunity to actually wear the helmet with the headset because you got an opportunity to be responsible for all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely helped me, you know, really learn the defense, you know, just, you know, figuring out where everybody is, where everybody needs to be, and really just helping me learn his defense.
Well, we'll see how much you've learned about Bears history coming up next when we play Are You a Bears Authority? That's next with our guests, rookie linebacker Jonathan Bostic, Patrick Manley, Zach Zabin with you. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Along with Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall. Our guest tonight is linebacker Jonathan Bostic, who's taken over the middle. Kasim Green is going to be playing as well as James Anderson. Man, that's if I would have told you before the season started that you'd have all these changes, you know, but that's football. You just have to adjust, right?
I think Green Bay is going through similar stuff. I think everybody does, and you do have to adjust. But, you know, you like I said earlier, they got drafted for a reason. It's, you know, they got to play. You know, you talk about the next man up or whatever it is. It's who you have, and you just hope you have good backup talent, and then you expect them to play well.
I was talking with Phil Emery about why the Bears ended up selecting you, and one of the things that stood out to Emery when he was watching constant video footage of you during your career at Florida, you were the guy that would always show up when they needed that last line of defense, someone to make a game-saving tackle. All of a sudden, you'd see Bostic zipping through the screen, making the key stop. So that's the kind of athleticism I think you need to play well in this defense. And it helps because, let's face it, I mean, you talked about it earlier, John, about how there's so many, while it's a simple defense, it's very complex for your responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So there are times where, you know, the quarterback understands what you're trying to do. He might fool you. Then you have to have your athleticism to get back and make the play.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a big part of this defense, you know, especially with us being a cover two defense. There's a lot of things that, you know, you may not have to do, you know, in other defenses, you know, with certain, you know, run fakes and, you know, getting down the middle of the field. You know, it's different things that, you know, put a stress on the linebackers where basically your athleticism has to really take over.
And it's something that I think has helped some of the other – when you look at the Bears that have really thrived in this defense, it's all guys like Bostic,
yeah,
you know, those
yeah,
those athletic guys that are also smart players too.
I mean, Warwick Holdman we had, similar, you know, obviously Lance Briggs, Rosie Colvin. But I got a question for you. So Lacy played at Alabama, correct?
Yeah.
And you put some licks on him before?
They pretty much put some licks on us.
Yeah, but, I mean, you tackled him a little bit, so you're ready to go against, you know – renew the rivalry again?
Yeah, he's definitely a back that, you know, I liked watching him in college. You know, he's a bigger back. He's physical, you know, but at the same time, you know, he's a guy that's got quick feet for a big guy, you know, and that's something, you know, always, you know, seeing him, that's something I always liked about him. So, you know, it'd definitely be interesting going up against him again.
Yeah, Lacy led the NFL in rushing for the month of October. So just another little challenge, and it's time to introduce the Bears defense to these Packers.
Yes.
All right, time to play Are You a Bears Authority, brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. It's really fun. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit your buzzer. Pat, you want to give just like that. And the first person that hits the buzzer gets an opportunity to answer the question, and if that person gets it wrong, the other player can answer. Whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So, Patrick, you're going to be playing for Susan Johnson of Belvedere, And Jonathan, you're playing for Charles Green from Des Plaines. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Guys ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Question number one. Which player on the current Bears roster lists Anchorage, Alaska as his hometown?
Really?
I'm not making it up.
Oh, man.
Someone feel free to hit it.
Alaska. What?
Three. All right, I'll give a hint.
Yeah.
Defensive back. Patrick.
Isaiah Fry.
Incorrect. Ooh. Take a guess. You have nothing to lose, Jonathan.
I can't even think of one.
Can't think of a defensive back?
No, I can't even think of one that's from Alaska because I know.
Yeah.
The correct answer is Zach Bowman.
Oh, that's right. Military.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
Military.
He's also a big force on special teams this season.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right. So, again, status quo 0-0. We go to question number two.
That was a good question. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you very much. I came up with it on my own. His father was a head coach with the New York Jets, Wake Forest, and the University of Virginia. He was a star quarterback.
Mike Groh.
Patrick? Correct.
Played against
receivers coach.
Another coach I played against.
Yeah. Al Groh? Yeah. You played against
him? No, Mike Groh.
Mike Groh.
He was in Virginia when I was at Duke.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. What's he like?
Good guy. Real good guy. Yeah. He's been kind of quiet. I think he's just kind of feeling his way out. He's more of a quiet coach. I don't know him. Yeah, I guess he's just a quiet guy. But he and I talk Duke and Virginia stuff. But other than that, he's not a loud guy on the field at all. He's not a, I'm drawing a blank. Our receivers coach last year.
Daryl Drake.
He's not as loud as Daryl Drake.
Right. It's tough to be loud in the Bears receivers room. I mean, those receivers, they're different kind of cats.
Yeah, I think they talk a lot.
Yeah, they definitely. So Groh's more of a listener, I think, than a talker. All right, so it's a 1-0 lead for Patrick Manley over Jonathan Bostic. We move ahead to question number three. Who is the only player on the Bears 53-man roster who played at Virginia Tech? Patrick.
James Anderson. Duke beat him last week.
Yeah, and I noticed you.
That's right. We went to 6-2.
Yeah, you were tweet trash talking.
Yes, I was. Yeah. I get it every decade maybe for Duke football, so I'm going to do it while I get it. That's 2 years in a row for us. We're bowl eligible 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy about that.
Cutcliffe has done just remarkable things for the program. See what happens when Peyton Manning trains at your school? All of a sudden, just raises the level of play for everybody else.
It does.
All right, it's a 2-0 lead for Patrick Manley over Jonathan Bostic. We go to question number four. We will. This is a special teams question. Devin Hester was born on November 4th. What year?
I saw this at the game, too.
Feel free to hit it and take a shot.
I'm going to say 1982.
Correct!
Oh,
how
a good
about
one.
This? Jonathan Bostic rallying and making it a one-question game. 2-1.
All right.
Yeah, Devin Hester was born in 1982. You want to know what makes him ridiculous? 19 return touchdowns.
Yeah.
19!
Yeah.
Last time the Bears beat the Packers in 2010, he had a punt return for a touchdown. And he does them in bunches, so just saying.
He keeps going.
If you get Mastay on the field for the Packers, you never know.
That's important.
All right, question number five. Bears quarterback Josh McCown was selected by the Arizona Cardinals in the 2002 NFL Draft. What round?
I'm going to say third.
Correct.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Have we not had a Josh McCown question every week?
Yeah.
He's like the trivia king.
There's a lot we don't know about you. I did learn this about McCown, and this is really cool. He said that it bothers him that he's not in Charlotte with his family right now because it is Halloween. He's going to miss the kids trick-or-treating. But the whole family's coming up to Lambeau Field for the game on Monday night.
That's
and
good.
That is cool. When you're a kid and you can watch your dad taking on the Green Bay Packers in a real game.
And he's got kids of age that get it.
Yes.
That play themselves. I think I don't know what their age, but they play ball themselves, so they really get it. So that is
could you imagine having had that opportunity to, you have to watch the highlights of your dad.
Yeah. Bad old highlights, too. I think they were VHS.
Yes. Yeah, the technology today is unbelievable. All right, it's a 3-1 lead for Patrick Manley over Jonathan Bostic. We need a big-time rally here from John to make it a game. Question number six. In what year did Jay Cutler set the Bears franchise record for single-season completions and attempts? I should point out that Cutler... Go ahead, John.
I'm going to just take a guess at this. 09.
Correct. Do you realize all of the questions he gets right, he guesses, but that's they're not multiple choice guesses either.
No, that's pretty good.
All right, that's a 3-2 lead. Question number seven. We go way back. It's a multiple choice question, right. So you might want to wait for the actual choices.
Back.
All right? Here we go.
You got an advantage already.
Yeah. No, and I don't know if Pat might have played with this guy. Walter Payton holds the Bears record for career rushing touchdowns. How many did he have? 52, 77, 101, 110. Again, multiple choice. Career record for rushing touchdowns.
Same again real quick.
52, 77, 101, 110. Patrick.
I'm going to go 101.
Incorrect. Jonathan, take a guess.
Could you say that one more time?
52, 77, or 110?
You got it.
You can just answer.
77.
Incorrect. Oh. 110 career touchdowns.
Those two were close, too.
Yeah. So that means that Patrick Manley has won the game. Congratulations, Pat. Susan Johnson of Belvedere is getting a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Patrick Manley. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Along with Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Saban. The rookie Jonathan Bostic is with us for the full hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall. All right, so there's playing in the NFL, and then there is playing at Lambeau Field, which is a different experience.
Lambeau Field, to me, is my favorite stadium to play besides Soldier Field, obviously. I'll give you a quick story. My rookie year, we're up there. We're staying in Appleton this week, Jonathan. But my rookie year, we stayed in some rinky-dink hotel in Green Bay. But Jeff Jaeger, our place kicker at the time, told me, take the second bus. We have two waves of buses that go over to the stadium. Take the second bus. That way you can see more of the tailgaters and what the pregame is like in Green Bay. And we played, I think we played up there the second, yeah, we did. We played up there the second game, and it was cold. So you pull up, and you see everybody giving you the finger. But the funny thing is they give you the finger with a smile on their face. Most places they give you the finger, and they're, you know, they look angry. So it's like a friendly rivalry that's just awesome. But everybody's tailgating. Everybody's got booze going. Everybody's cooking brats, and it just goes on in Walmart parking lots, Kmart parking lots, McDonald's parking lots. And then you pull up to the stadium. Completely engulfed in that is more grills and beer and all that stuff, and you know, the smoke coming off the grills, and it's just such a cool scene to see pulling into an NFL stadium like that, because there's no other place like that.
You know what I compare it to? It's a lot like Wrigley Field, where mm-hmm. it's built in a neighborhood, so you know the buses are going through a regular residential neighborhood, and then out of nowhere, bam, you see this big green stadium with an old school style with the bricks and everything. It just looks cool.
Yeah, it's just you're gonna. When you pull up there, you'll never forget that feeling the first time you pull up there, because there's such a history between us two, and then seeing that place, it's pretty darn cool.
And then the tunnel is so narrow.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you go straight through the tunnel, and it's in one of the end zones, and the fans, they seem to know every little thing about you as you the bad stuff too, right?
Well, they've done a nice job upgrading the stadium, but it's still that little old school tunnel. Like you've probably seen a lot of the NFL films highlights where they have that shot from behind where the guys are running out. Well, this one, you're, you know, from our stadium is what, I don't know how wide, but this is, you know, two people can hardly fit between there. So it's pretty cool coming out the field like that.
And you've experienced this. Now, it's been a while since 2007 when the Bears last won a game at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Don't remind me. I'm sorry, but it's part of the, hey, you can end it yourself.
I hear you.
I want
that done,
you know?
Please.
So what's it like leaving there after a win when you get back on the buses and the fans are not happy that you just beat the hometown team there?
It feels darn good because you know you're coming back to your neighbor's going to tap you on the back. Everybody in Chicago's happy. That week is great because you might get a free meal at the next restaurant because you beat the Packers because it's such a big rivalry. And then the other one, go back, is 2005 we won there and we clinched the division. That's probably my greatest memory up there, winning. Is clinching the division in Green Bay. That was pretty cool.
Lance Briggs, I believe, had a pick six in that mm-hmm. game to kind of seal the deal. It was, you know, it had been a long time coming for the Bears. 2001 had been the last year prior to that that they made the playoffs. And that was a year in which the Bears, you started out 1-3, I think, in 2005.
Think so, yeah.
So to rally back and get into the playoffs was a big deal for the Bears. All right, now let's talk about these Packers specifically, because they've been able to endure injuries and win. Is that kind of the blueprint for what you guys need to do going forward here?
Yes, it is. I mean, that's what you have to do. It's every team in the NFL to me has their ups and downs, and they have their injuries they have to deal with. I think that's the way the NFL is now. And it's how you can deal during those times. If you can come out on top winning wise or win most of them, then when you get those guys back, I feel like you get more confidence going forward in the end of the season.
We're with Jonathan Bostic. And defensively, the reality is it's been a rough seven games for the Bears from a defensive standpoint. The Bears giving up 29 points per game. And, you know, people here are seeing numbers from the defense that they haven't seen in a long time. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So what's been taking place over the last couple of weeks from Mel Tucker on down to make sure that you guys are able to kind of, you know, get back on track from a defensive standpoint?
Basically, you know, even though guys are out, you know, we're saying the same thing, you know, we said from day one, you know, it's no excuses. You know, it's no excuses, you know, for, you know, that those many points to be up on the, you know, the board. Everybody's just got to do their job. You know, we said, you know, as long as everybody, you know, does their job, you know, we feel pretty good, you know, about, you know, what we have, you know, going into, you know, every game. So, you know, basically we had to get back to, you know, the technique standpoint and make sure we're all doing, you know, the right things, you know, technique wise, and, you know, everybody's doing their job.
That's one thing I think I've seen over the years, that this cover two scheme, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I'm right, is that as long as you're doing your technique and where you're supposed to be, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys have gone over? Is just make sure you're filling the right gaps. Make sure that the corner's in the right spot, the linebacker's in the right drop, or filling the right, you know, gap on a run hole. Is that what they've been nailing to you guys?
Yeah, it's definitely. Because, you know, basically, you know, with this defense, it's kind of like playing with a man short, you know, but, you know, it helps out, you know, another areas. So, you know, if one person, you know, misses their gap, you know, it pretty much puts the defense in a bind and, you know, pretty much can give up a big play. So, you know, everybody's got to make sure, you know, they know, you know, what's going on and, you know exactly where they're supposed to be at, you know, because, like I said, you know, a big play can kill you. So,
yeah. Has any of the older guys like Peppers or Peanut or anybody come to you guys and say, hey, we got to do this? Or is it more just a collective unit that, you know, we've got to step up our game and it's understood that, you know, we can't give up, what did we give up, 44 points last week? Mm-hmm. You know, has there somebody stepped up and said anything, or is it just more Mel Tucker and then it's just going through everybody, they understand that?
It's pretty much, you know, everybody, you know, mm-hmm. saying it. You know, it's not, you know, just the coaches, not just, you know, one player, you know, two players. You know, it's pretty much everybody as a whole. You know, it's really kind of been like, you know, there's nothing really needs to be said. Yeah. You know, it's pretty much everybody needs to, you know, get back to work and, you know, do what we need to do to, you know, correct everything.
What is Josh McCown like? You know, I mean, you get a chance to. Yeah, I'm asking you, Pat.
I don't know. We just got to do another quiz here, and we'll figure out all the questions about.
I mean, I'm not talking about the. I'm just saying because he was. You know, a lot's been made about the fact, and he joked about this today that he's too loud in the huddle. That his teammates told him, "Hey, calm down a little bit," because he's super fired up on the sidelines. At least he was saying that. You know, when Cutler was in there, what he would do to kind of help himself those mental reps. During games, he has his helmet on, and he actually listens to the plays, and then he'll drop back on the sideline.
He does that in practice.
Does he really?
He stands behind, and he'll do, you know, basically walk through. When Jay's a starting quarterback, he'll walk through it all. He'll stand back there and do his reads while he's, you know, the O-line's, what, 20 yards in front of him, but he's back there doing the same steps the quarterback's.
All right, we got to hit more of this when we come back next. Patrick Manley's here. I'm Zach Sabin. We've got Jonathan Bostic. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. The Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak. The Bears coaching staff airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. With Jonathan Bostic, I'm Zach Sabin. Patrick Manley is along. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Halas Hall. And the Bears getting set for the Packers with a whole bunch of new players and positions experiencing big time things for the first time as an NFL team. And that's part of the fun too. You know, before you say that someone can't do something, you got to find out what they can do when they're actually out there, right?
Yeah, this will be a big test. I think this will be a real big test.
You know, I liked what you said, Jonathan, last week, is that this is what you play for. Yeah. I mean, you play and you work, you know, all the sweat that you go through throughout your life is to get to this period in time.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, you've pretty much dream as a little kid, you know, when you first put on pads, you know, to go out, you know, NFL stadium and be able to pretty much compete against some of the best athletes from around the world. So, you know, it's definitely been a big, you know, a change for me, you know, just coming to this level and, you know, realizing, you know, that I'm here now, you know, but at the same time, you know, I've got to make sure I'm working, you know, keep getting better. So,
when you got drafted, or, you know, you knew you were going to go play in the NFL, what were you most excited about besides playing in a game about the NFL, then what were you most nervous about?
Really, most excited about was, I guess, just playing.
Just being it, yeah, putting the helmet on.
Putting the helmet on, you know, whatever team, you know, decided to take me at the point. And I probably wouldn't say I was too nervous about anything.
I got to disagree.
Really?
Yeah, he was nervous when he had to get up and sing in front of the team.
Oh!
Remember how we talked earlier about Kasim Green? They were always side by side.
Yeah, yeah. This is in Bourbon A.
This
right?
is in Bourbon A. So we had the one of our final team meetings. The rookies entertained us a little bit, and he had to sing and got a little frozen.
Oh no!
Yeah. So a couple of the other rookies had to come down, and they finished it off pretty good. They picked each other up real well. It was good teamwork.
That's real good teamwork. That's the mark of a good team, right?
Good,
to have guys that you know, you do your job. If you can't, hopefully someone comes in there and helps you out. Now, so what was the song?
I don't even did you guys sing Lean On Me?
Yeah, Lean On Me. I was about to say Stand By Me.
Yeah, it was Lean On Me. That's what they sang.
If you want, I mean, we have an opportunity. It's just between us, you know, feel free. I mean, you got a microphone.
He couldn't do it in front of 100 people. He can't do it in front of 101 people.
Yeah, we do have that extra person listening to the radio program, which is always exciting. I wonder if right now Kasim Green is driving around going, come on, man, not again.
He might come busting through the door to help him out in the interview.
Because I would figure that if Kyle Long is part of a rookie class, that there's really no need for anyone else to say anything.
I think that's what happened.
Not at all. Well, you know, usually, you know beforehand.
Right.
You know what's going on. And so I wasn't really expecting. I was thinking, you know, because guys – coaches were outside the meeting.
I guess we had like a break or something, but all our teams stayed in there.
And it should be pointed out, by the way, that you know, Mark Trestman frowns upon this kind of activity.
He does. He does. But he saw this, and I think he saw it as a good team. Actually, it ended up being better that we did it at the end of camp.
Right.
One is, like John said, that he didn't know it was going to happen. We didn't either.
Yeah.
There's a couple of the older guys who were like, all right, started tapping the table, you know, start singing. And Coach Trestman saw a couple guys sing and saw the way the team was reacting in the auditorium and let it go on. And I think pretty much every rookie had to sing for us.
Yeah, he actually made me go up there.
Yeah, he did.
Because I was thinking.
Oh, Trestman made you go
up. Yeah,
out.
I was actually thinking. I was thinking more of, you know, you just had to volunteer. Some guys were volunteering, some guys weren't. So I'm not gonna
volunteer to do this.
Somebody did. Who was the? Zach. Zach. Yeah.
Yeah. Zach Minter.
Yeah.
You know, he's Zach Minter would want to showcase the soulful sound.
Yeah, he's one that thinks he can sing.
Yeah, those are the people that they think they can sing. Those are the ones that jump up there first.
Man,
but it was entertaining. It was good. They did a good job.
Now it's changed. Like you talked earlier about how the league has changed in terms of guys trying to take guys out of the league from a physical standpoint during games. I'm sure this part, I don't want to call it hazing because it's not hazing.
It's not hazing. It's introduction is what I call it.
You're
finding out the guy's personality, what they're like. It's singing a song. If you look back on it when you're done now, you're like, it's easy.
Yeah.
But when it's the part of being in front of a new audience, you know, it's different.
What they do to you as a rookie?
Instead of singing, I had a brother-in-law that was a magician, and he taught me a couple of card tricks. So I did card tricks in front of him.
Is there any? No wonder you're the eighth wonder of the world. I mean, it's like David Copperfield is here all of a sudden. All right, so back to Josh McCown. We were talking about him in our last segment, and you know, there's so much about a guy that you don't know, but we don't know, but you guys see on the practice field because most of the time we just focus in on the starters. But you see these guys.
He's a coach, is what you know, that's what he does when he was not in the NFL for the last whatever the months he was off. But that's what he is, and he can play obviously, but he's. Like I said earlier, he stands behind Jay and does do all the goes through all the plays, but he's just got the energy like a coach. He talks like a coach. He runs around like a coach, and it's like an infectious energy that we all feed off of.
He is definitely going to be a coach when he stops playing.
I think it'll be a very good one.
Yeah, because he's got the and he gets along with everybody, which is hard to do when you think about an NFL locker room.
Yeah, I don't think there's. I mean, he's kind of close to our locker, and he talks to everybody. Comes over and, you know, he's. Yeah, he mingles with everybody. He's that kind of guy you would think in a locker room.
He does say, though, that there's nothing he can say on the sideline that will make Julius Peppers better or Robbie Gould better. So apparently he does have some limitations.
Well, you got to if you're going to become a coach.
Yeah, that's Patrick Manilou is here. So is Jonathan Bostic. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, I want to find out that entire first game that you played as a starter against Washington, the good, the bad, what you learned, what surprised you, all that kind of stuff. We're going to recap and react to Bostic's first game as a starter, middle linebacker, next, right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's Packer Week, and this is Bears All Access, first ever visit. from the rookie linebacker Jonathan Bostic. I'm Zach Sabin. Patrick Manley is along. And again, boy, Phil Emery was not wrong when he called you the eighth wonder of the world. Magician, card tricks, you know, long snapper. You could probably play baseball back in the day, I imagine.
Little League. I was a Little League all-star.
Yeah, I believe it.
East Marietta Little League.
Yeah, there you go, out in Georgia. And that's a lot of talent down there.
We won the Little League World Series in 1980, the East Marietta all-star team. Yeah. Not me, but the...
Well, that's a big. I mean, Ty Cobb was a Georgian.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a long history there. That's
Frank Thomas.
Yeah, Frank Thomas.
Keep going, but I'll stop.
I went to I was at Auburn last year, and there is it was just weird seeing Frank Thomas in a football uniform when you look at some of the pictures.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him playing football.
He's my neighbor. He loves football, loves the Bears,
but
loves it.
There's a difference between loving football and actually playing
football. Well, I think that's what happened. Yeah, I think he was good at it, but then he could hit a baseball a little bit better than he could block a guy or something, a tight end.
Man, you played at Florida, so that means that you must have been able to play every sport and then some as a kid.
Yeah, I pretty much, my mom signed me up for everything.
Right.
And anything that was, something competitive, had a ball or something, involved, I played it. It goes all the way back to me playing hockey. So
hockey.
Whoa.
Yeah. I played hockey for 2 years.
Hockey.
Florida?
In Florida.
Wow, I didn't know they had ice down there.
It was actually roller hockey.
It's still hockey. Yeah. They didn't have ice down there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is tough. Yeah, we had our indoor
yeah,
stuff.
No,
I think the Blackhawks were at the season opener, I think this year. They won the Stanley Cup last year. I'm telling you, of course you know. And they came by, and it was just it was fun watching those guys, because as they were being introduced, all of a sudden, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, the two biggest stars on the team, just start tossing the football around, and you can understand why they're hockey players.
I went to a game Saturday when they played the Wild, and I've been to a few, but just to get down there close to the ice and watch those guys on skates, it's unbelievable. They might not be able to throw a ball, but they are darn good athletes.
You do have to be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I think football, there's a certain kind of mental toughness and attitude that you need. But in hockey, you have to have that, and you're on skates.
And then they're playing 2 days later or a day later.
Yeah.
After all that physical contact.
People talk about the Bears. No one has any idea when Cutler or Briggs are coming back. And you guys have done a phenomenal job of giving Jim Schwartz and the Lions six different timetables to prepare for, which I think was the goal. But, in hockey, you find out even less about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have upper body injuries or lower body injuries. There's no specifics.
Yeah. I like that.
I do, too. I wish we just went to that. But who knows?
You can't. You got an injury report, you got to be a little bit more specific. All right, so the Washington game, and we're with Jonathan Bostic here. That was your first game as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think you did? And I know you're your toughest critic, so when you were looking back at the video and watching what you did, kind of size it up for us.
Easiest way to say it, got a long ways to go. Now, I made some plays, but it's got a long ways to go. I wasn't really satisfied after the game. There's a lot of things I can improve on. It's not, one specific area, but it's a lot of things I can definitely improve on.
But, okay, it had to be one of the most difficult games to start your first game, going against RG3 and then the read option thrown in there as well.
Well, tell you the truth, the read option was something that you pretty much saw every week in college.
Uh-huh.
Something you may have not have seen in college. I know it's something that's,
it's newer,
really new, but it's something, we saw on a weekly basis.
So you were used to, the discipline of, you have either the pitch, the quarterback, So I think that's the big difference to me, I think, in the NFL. I don't know if the other guys that talked to you, the older guys, that we haven't seen it, and it's just the discipline of, following the pitch, the handoff, or the quarterback.
Yeah, even though, you may seem like you're, running yourself out of the play, chasing the running back, if you turn around and try to take the quarterback and he pitches it, nobody's there for him, it's pretty much a race.
Yeah.
So.
That's tough. That's what I was wondering. I thought that would be harder being your first game, but I forgot that you, coming from college, that's what you did every week.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the stuff that you used to prepare for that game, you got to throw that out the window now when you take on the Packers, because that's a completely different style of offense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something, it was just like in college. You're going to, in the SEC, I probably can say you saw a different offense every week. It wasn't, that it was power lead, we run the ball, it's a line of scrimmage lead down there, but at the same time, you're facing different quarterbacks that do different things. Texas A&M is a no huddle team. Spurrier with South Carolina, they're a little bit of no huddle. They kind of switch up their tempo a lot. Georgia, you never know what they're going to come out. And they switch it up, you know, every week. You know, Alabama's, you know, your traditional, you know, West Coast team that, you know, still takes their shots and, you know, wins off defense. So,
yeah, it's something that I think it prepares you for the NFL because you have to deal with all the different athletes running those types of systems. Now, specifically on Monday night, when it comes to the Packers, what are the things, if you have the keys for success for you in this game, without giving the game plan away, what are they going to be?
For me, it's tough to say. You know, it's because there's so many of them. It's a long list. I'd probably go on forever. But, you know, really just, you know, making sure I know my assignments, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm comfortable out there and making sure, you know, we're making all the checks and, you know, talking between each other, you know, because that's what makes the game easier. You know, when everybody's out there talking, you know, about what we see, you know, and reminding each other, you know, this is, you know, what they do in this situation. And it makes the game a lot easier. So making sure, you know, we're all on the same page.
Got to say goodbye.
Yeah. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah.
Time to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah. Good luck. Enjoy it. Stay safe. And Monday night, pick up a victory.
That's our goal.
Patrick Manley, Zach Zaidman, for Jonathan Bostic, and our executive producer, Greg Miller, Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, and everyone in our downtown studios. I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.